Greetings, fellow captains, and welcome back to Rank Amateur. Today on Rank Amateur, we will be featuring the Tier 7 non-premium, or tech tree, British heavy cruiser HMS Surrey. So welcome back to Rank Amateur. It's been a little while. It's going to be a bit of a shorter episode today because unfortunately, HMS Surrey is not a real steel ship. She was never actually built. So this is just going to be one big section because we don't really have much history to go over. So without further ado, let's get into World of Warships news. So there is, I guess, a normal amount of news that's gone out lately. They released a statement pertaining to the community contributor disaster, and I'm trying to find it now. Of course, maybe they took it down or something, but it was a very long statement, didn't say a whole lot, said that they're working on some certain game mechanics and aspects and things like that, and just explanation why they're doing what they are doing. A lot of it was kind of meaningless. Some of it seemed to make sense, so I'm not going to go into a lot of details because it is quite a long statement, so you can probably find it on their website. I'm just not able to find it right now for some reason. I did see it earlier this week, though. So as far as news is concerned, Dockyard's still going on. I'm in phase 14 right now. Should complete phase 15, hopefully by like tomorrow or so. And the Tier 5 premium ship that I managed to get out of that Tier 5 premium ship container was the Tier 5 French destroyer Sirocco. I think that's how you pronounce it, but I'm not sure. So basically what it is, it's a traditional French destroyer, 130mm guns, four of them, and it has the main battery reload booster. However, it's kind of slow. It has a top speed like 32 knots without this French speed boost, which will get it up to like 39, which is reasonable. But I've only played one battle in it, and that battle I was top of the team in a Tier 7 match. So yeah, it was wasn't exactly a ruffle stomp, and I did actually manage to solo kill a Legale Saunier. I don't know if that says a lot about me as a French destroyer player, or says not a whole lot about that Boer Legale Saunier player, because I used a smokescreen to cover my approach and kind of ambushed him, and did the old gag where you start firing, and then stop firing, make it look like you launched torpedoes, even though your torpedoes were already launched, and then he turned out straight into my torpedoes. And, speaking of torpedoes, 13K Alpha, 57 knot speed, 7 kilometer range, with those torpedoes. And, it seems like a decent ship. I don't know if it's anything special, but hey, it was free, so I'm not going to complain. The Pacific War campaign, has gone live, and that is the USS Missouri's, you know how you can earn it. I say earn it in air quotes because you have to complete this whole huge campaign, which is kind of akin to the Dockyard campaign, except you don't actually get the Missouri. You get like some sort of code or something like that, and you contact support and they unlock it for you. They have done the backbreaking work of unlocking the Missouri for you and giving you the chance to have it for $77.20. Yeah, so don't even bother unless you... I think there's some, like, rewards for the campaign. Like, yeah, so you can get rewards for it, and I guess that's worth it. The rewards are okay. You have, like, 1,000,000 credits. A few flags. Not really worth it. I'd do the Dockyard instead. I really would. You get a Tier 5 premium ship out of it, even if you don't pay a dime. And you get a Tier 8 premium ship if you pay 3,900 balloons to start it. Yeah, don't bother with it. I've seen people in co-op trying to grind it. Don't bother with it. Really don't. It's not worth it. You can earn 1,000,000 credits in just a few battles if you have a premium ship. So, Line in the Room right now is update 10.8 that's going live. And essentially, You can get like camouflages for, or well, it's tons of things that are going on. But one of the things is the World of Warships 6th anniversary. They're reworking the port for whatchamacallit. Was a designer's table is now kind of becoming like a gaming desk. It looks kind of cool. You can get different camouflages for the Lyon, the Gajamada, the York, the Shores, the Akatsuki, or Akatsuki, not Akatsuki, it's a Tier 7 torpedo boat destroyer, and the Italian cruiser Zara. So yeah, I mean, you can get containers, and they also have a sort of a snowflake event, so if you play, win a battle, earn 300 base XP, so basically playing a co-op battle, in your Tier 5 to 10 ships. In tiers 5 to 7, you get, like, one token, and tiers 8 to 9, you get, like, two tokens or something like that. And then, for tier 10 ships, you get a super container. Yes, you get a super container. So, I think that's quite generous of them. And you can buy it, and there's also, I mean, you can obviously buy these containers. I mean, they would dare make it so you couldn't buy these containers that you can get with these, tokens, and you can get like other rewards like camouflage. It's pretty much like every other event that we've had that's used some variety of tokens. And then there's also a new collection that you can complete, and then it gives you a super container, 6 gift containers, and a flag for completing this container, or for completing the collection container. Jeez, I can't speak today. And in 10.8, Dutch cruisers will be fully researchable. Everyone knows what a Dutch cruiser can do right now. In case maybe you don't play World of Warships, basically it's a cruiser with good maneuverability, concealment, short high velocity shells, short shelf light time, large guns at high tiers. Johan de Witt, the tier 9, has 240 millimeters, and tier 10, Gordon Lowe, has 283 millimeters. Pretty good armor. They're close in ships. The accuracy is not very good, and they have to suffer from long duration fires, but they do have the airstrike consumable, which allows them to essentially just bomb its ships from behind islands and things like that. And it's basically the first counter we've had, the first reliable counter besides aircraft carriers that to camping and battleships, like Soviet battleships face tanking us. So I think that's kind of cool. The dockyard's still going on. Soviet aircraft carriers are in early access now. Soviet aircraft carriers, yay. What everyone wanted. Soviet aircraft carriers, one attacking flight. It's a really large attacking flight, but incredibly low hit points on the aircraft, or at least last time I checked. They could change it. And they have Tiny Tim rockets from tier 6 and up. They have skip bombers from tier 8 and up. And from tier 8 and up, they have jet boosters. So, yeah, 100% realistic. Whatever. essentially you can get them in early access, and there's also a tier 8 premium, and you can also get these Soviet tokens for doubloons, and you can get from daily bundles and things, and you can exchange them for early access to the Soviet carriers if you really want to. What I've been using early access ships for is I literally just haven't touched them unless they're, you know, good and I want to play them. I get them, I sit them in my port, and once the early access event ends, I sell them. And I reap the benefits of those credits. Because even though they sell for less than what you would be able to buy them for, since you didn't buy them with credits, you have a net gain of credits. And there's another, essentially, Battle of the Beasts event, except it's called Aircraft Bureau Rivalry. Essentially, you get, there's 3 teams instead of 4s, and then there's team patches will be awarded for personal progress. And then, there's a, like, you can get rewards and things like that. I don't exactly know. Maybe, like, a unique commander or something like that that you can get. In each of these stages, last 1 week, there's 4 weeks, so 4 stages. And you can get 6 years of World of Warships containers, theme patches, victory, camouflages, coal, and Soviet tokens. So, yeah. Also, convoy mode. basically, it seems pretty neat. You're just supposed to escort AI-controlled convoys. One team has to escort, one team tries to sink them, and the escorting team wins if if one of the bot transports makes it to the zone where they're supposed to go, and the attacking team wins if all the escorts are sunk or if all the transports are sunk. So, yeah. And you also get rewards for, like, taking damage. Like, let's say there's a torpedo that's going to kill one of your transports. If you go and throw your ship in front of it and take the torpedo for it, you get, like, rewards and things for that. So I think it's kind of cool. Armory, the Tier 8 premium Soviet carrier Chkalov will be available. Yeah, and new bundles and things like that for the Research Bureau. Or not for the Research Bureau, for the community center they have on there. And the Chkalov is available for 12,300 doubloons. Different content additions. There's new camouflages. King of Primitives for Republic, Cod Racer for Minotaur, Lord of Seekers for Manfred von Richthofen, and Superior for Venezia. New Soviet commander. And there's new collections for Transformers. There's new patches for these Transformers. New patches for Mariner Service, Mooncake, Digigod, and HMS Belfast. New commemorative flags for Moonrabbit, Chile Presidential, and Mexican flags. Ships burned, Tulsa and Gibraltar have been added for testing. Independence Day of Brazil. Combat missions are available. And different balancing for the submarines. Different balancing for Hydrophone consumable. They've also increased the depth charges from 1 to 2 for Farragut, Monaghan, Icarus, Gallant, Guepard, Eagle, Ernest, Gade, T-61, Paolo Emilio, Fubuki, Hatsuharu, Shinonomi, Gnevni, Juria, Vastra, Skanye, Olin, Osterjotland, Huanghe, Fushun, Silwangi, Anshan, and Fenyang. That's a much-needed buff. And cruisers De Savin Provincia, Belfast 43, and Huanghe added the possibility to mount depth charges modification 1 in the 4th slot. German carriers August von Parseval, Richthofen, Graf Zeppelin B, adjusted the settings of bombers, increased the chance of 2 bombs hitting an ellipse at once. American carrier FDR, torpedo parameters have changed, arming distance increased, torpedo launch spread increased 5%, bomb parameters were changed. Reduced the damage by 1,000, HE bomb penetration reduced by 3 millimeters, and chances of fire being caused by HE bombs reduced from 64% to 60%. Wargaming is really doing it for us right now. Bunch of different errors that were fixed. I'm not going to read all of them. And the Endracht has had its airstrike range reduced to 10 kilometers from 11 kilometers. Nominally, it said it was 10 kilometers, but you could actually get it out to 11 kilometers because of this bug, but they fixed that. Also, they fixed the error that caused Z-44 to have a slightly higher chance of fire on the ship than was initially published. So, that is it for World of Warships news, and we will be getting right into the specs and how to play of HMS Surrey. So HMS Surrey, Tier 7 British heavy cruiser, quite a good ship in my opinion. Does have drawbacks, but essentially what this is this was an actual planned ship. They were going to build it, but budget cuts, like it was set up and they had all the resources allocated for it, and it was essentially just supposed to be an improved Devonshire class or county class. But budget cuts right before its construction led to it being canceled and never built. Doubtful whether it would actually look like this, because it would have probably just been more or less a copy of the county class. But I guess they're trying to maybe, like, put it in a modernization similar to that of the London at Tier 6, like a sort of a World War II modernization. And you can tell based on the radars that were on the masts of HMS Surrey. So, I mean, I can kind of see what they're going for here. There's not a whole lot of historical... it's not really based off any historical things or historical designs. But, you know, it's... The main battery is correct, well, the armor's correct and things like that. So it seems like they got the nuts and bolts of it down. It's just whether their interpretation of what the design would have looked like in the mid-1940s. So going over the specs, no modules nor commander skills have been applied at this point. Actually, you know, I'm going to make it so that it's as if you had researched all the modules on it. So you got the new fire control module and the B-hull. So, maximum range is 14.82 kilometers, which is kind of short, but not as short as it gets. I believe only the Weimar has a shorter range, or the Weimar, or however you want to pronounce it, has a shorter range at the tier than the Surrey. But I really didn't notice it too much because, or I mean, I noticed the range deficit, but it didn't really impact the playstyle of it, and I'll tell you why in a little bit. But reload time has been reduced from 14 seconds to 12.5 seconds from when compared to the Devonshire. So 180-degree turn time is standard 22.5 seconds. I think that's the same as the Devonshire. Sigma 2.0 accuracy is 136 meters. Dispersion horizontal. Dispersion vertical is 82 meters. HEDPM is 126,720. Maximum damage is 3,300, which is increased. I believe it's normally at this tier like 2,900. So yeah, it's a bit increased. Muzzle velocity is 814 meters a second. Shell weight's 116 kilograms, which I believe is 256 pounds. Yes, that is. Yeah, okay. And so the ricochet. I'm looking at the wrong specs here. Okay, so depth explosion for depth charges, or if you're shooting at a submarine, 3 meters around, HE penetration 34 millimeters, which is standard. The burn probability is 17%. Fires per minute is approximately 4, or close to 4, just a little under, 3.72. APDPM is 172.8K. Maximum damage is 4,500. Muzzle velocity is identical at 814 meters a second. The weight is identical at 116 kilograms. Depth explosion is only 1 meter. The overmatch is 14 millimeters. And the threshold is 30. The arming threshold is 34 millimeters with a fuse time of 0.033 seconds. The firing angles are okay. They're better back than they are forward, I believe, just by a little bit. But they're nothing to write home about. And they're not. I don't think they're awful. They're not the best that there is, though. So torpedoes. It does have torpedoes as two quadruple 533 millimeter QR Mark IV torpedoes. I believe are basically the same torpedoes that are carried on Devonshire. They do 15k damage. They have a reload time of 96 seconds, speed of 61 knots, detectability range of 1.3 kilometers, reaction time, if you're stationary, of 8.2 seconds, chance of flooding of 265%, 180-degree turn time of the standard 7.2 seconds, and they have atrocious fire angles. You basically have to give broadside to fire them. Secondary armament is useless. It's 120 millimeter dual-purpose guns, or 102 millimeter dual-purpose guns. No point in using them. AA defense is mediocre. It has two flaks, or three flak explosions, which go out every 5 seconds. They do 1190 damage each hit, and it has 73.5 DPS. In the outer range, in the medium range, there's 227 DPS, and then in the near range, there's 164.5 DPS. So it's okay. It's not bad, especially if you take defensive fire. It's decent, but it's nothing like the Desaven Provincia or a Holland like anti-aircraft suite. It's decent. Ship has 35,300 hit points, which I believe is a bit low. Yeah, if we compare it to the New Orleans, which has 29,000, okay, B-Hull has... Yeah, actually, it's right where it should be. It's around normal for the hit points. So it's not bad. Especially with the heal, it certainly is manageable. Fires burn for a standard 30 seconds. They'll do 3,177 damage. Floods go for the standard 40 seconds. They'll do 3,500 damage. The concealment is quite stealthy at 10.83 kilometers. Smoke firing penalty of 6.18 kilometers, and you're detected while on fire at 12 kilometers and by the air at 6 kilometers. It has a maximum speed of a kind of sluggish 30 knots, but a tight turning circle radius at 660 meters, with a rudder shift time of a bit on the slow side of 9.4 seconds. As far as consumables, it carries standard damage control, standard repair party, and it can have a choice between defensive AA or standard hydro, and it has a standard spotter plane. So, Suri, upgrades, you're going to want to take main armaments mod 1, you're going to want to take damage control system modification 1, then you're going to want to take aiming systems modification 1, and you're going to want to take rudders or steering gears modification 1. The reason why I don't take damage control modification 2 is because you're a cruiser, and you need to dodge things, and propulsion, I do not take it because you're not a US cruiser. You do not have the need to accelerate from behind islands, and you do not have smoke, so you do not need to accelerate out of the smoke screen. However, this thing does not get standard British acceleration, so it has standard acceleration with the rest of the world. It's not that ridiculous, like, you know, pulling a turn at, like, you know, like race car turn speeds. So, as far as commander builds, if you have a 10-point commander, you're probably going to want to take gun feeder, priority targets, adrenaline rush, and concealment expert. Then you're going to want to take superintendent, probably, and then you're not going to need IFHE. You may want to take top grade gunner, although I don't use it. You can also take grease the gears. Eye in the sky if you want to. That's gonna half the duration and the reload time of your spotter. So, I mean, you can if you want to. I don't really use the spotter all that much, so to be honest. So I, you know, not the skill for me, but it may be for you. You might want to take like consumable enhancements, to increase the duration of your hydro. You know. It's really up to you. You can do pretty much anything. This cruiser isn't super heavy on commander skills. If you want to take survivability expert, you can, but it's not super useful later in the line. You could take last stand.
One thing I forgot. Demolition expert, you're going to want to take that. That's going to increase the chance of your HE shells causing a fire on target by 1%. And then for flags, the only ones you should make sure you fly, everyone else is optional, are Juliet Charlie, Victor Lima, India X-Ray, India Delta, and November Foxtrot. You could also run Sierra Mike, and you could also run Sierra Bravo to increase the speed and the hydroacoustic surge duration, respectively, and that would also help you out if you have some of those flags, although I haven't really seen any Sierra Bravo flags being awarded lately, which is a bit strange because I have been getting a lot of flags lately, especially in the Dockyard campaign that I've been doing. Anyways, what does this do for the ship stats? Well, it does a few things. Most notably, it's going to decrease your concealment, which I believe... Yeah, so you get sub-10 kilometer concealment. You get 9.74 kilometer concealment with this build. So with the camouflage, you get like 9.5 kilometer concealment if you do put a camouflage on. And while firing main guns and smoke, this goes down to 6.18, and then when on fire, goes down to 11.74. So you are actually a very stealthy heavy cruiser. You can't quite stealth torp with your torpedoes, but if things are sailing towards you or you're dumping them in your wake as you're trying to just kind of do some aerial denial tactics, you can, you know, use them to some reasonable effectiveness, but this is most useful for the strategy in which you're going to play this ship, which is just kiting and things like that. So you're more or less kind of you're a support ship, and you also are very good at denying errors to the enemy, or at least delaying and punishing their advance. you're also going to have now a 20% fire chance. Yes, on 203mm guns at tier 7, a 20% fire chance. And yeah, so your alpha, you can expect to have around anywhere from 1 to 4,000, sometimes 5,000 damage high explosive salvos. Usually around 3,000. Yeah, 3,000 to 5,000 usually the norm. Sometimes I have gotten 7K salvos, sometimes 10K salvos, especially on destroyers. Yeah, so this thing is quite potent in its artillery. Even it's the Devonshire on steroids is what it is. That's what it is. And I can't imagine what the Albemarle is going to be like. I bet this is going to be even more insane. And then obviously you have the Drake after that, which is just an all-around improvement. And then the Goliath, which is, well, as the name says, is quite a Goliath as far as HE spamming is. It's the best one in the game. This build also is going to improve your reload speed. And I find this very useful because you do, if things go quite sour, you do take damage a lot. Although you do have the ability to, you know, go dark quite easily. So let's say you end up at around 50% health. Okay, so 49% health, you will have an 11.22 second reload, which, you know, assists in your DPM. And so how are you going to play this ship? Well, you're going to play it like the Devonshire. It loves to kite and just kind of deny the area to the enemy. And you might ask, well, how are you going to do this? Well, if you didn't see my Devonshire episode, what you're going to do is you're going to go to a cap on the flank. You're not going to go to the center cap because that's when it becomes kind of hard to manage this ship as far as picking targets and things like that. And just managing which direction your incoming fire is going to come from. Or by the way, your rudder shift time decreases to 7.5 seconds with all the rudder mods. And your speed increases 31.5 knots. With the speed flag mounted as opposed to the original 30 knots. So you're going to position yourself so that your concealment circle on your mini-map is around halfway through the cap, to halfway to three-quarters through the cap, and then you're going to turn around and just point your guns at the cap and wait for enemy ships to be spotted. And you're going to use your throttle and your rudder to kind of juke out. You can even go sometimes backwards, just to really make yourself unpredictable for the enemy, and you're just going to keep dishing out damage. And this ship's really good at it because it's not like a Des Moines or something, or a light cruiser where you need to constantly be firing in order to keep your DPM up. No, you can wait 10 seconds and still have good DPM. And this in turn allows you more time and thought to assess the situation and make sure you're keeping track of what's going on. It's less likely for you when you're able to pay more attention to the minimap because you're not always worrying about aiming your shots because your guns reload in 12 seconds. Allows you to have less ambushes and unexpected shots that come in from across the map. You can really look around for the things that are coming in and assessing the and allowing you to assess the situation. So that's in this rudder shift time of 7.5 seconds, which is not the greatest you'll ever have, but certainly not awful. Allows you to relatively easily dodge incoming shells, especially if they're from American battleships or American cruisers or something that has a little bit more floaty of an arc, perhaps a British ship. In turn, you wreck battleships. You are a kiting British heavy cruiser is one of a battleship's worst nightmares. Besides, like a Japanese torpedo boat that they can't see charging them, it's one of the hardest ships to push through because even if you manage to nail it, it still has a heal that can heal back a lot of the damage. And it's a British heal, so it is quite good. This heal will heal back 50% of any Citadel damage that is dealt to you as compared to the 10% that most battleship heals have or the 33% that most cruisers get. So you are very, very durable. But the problem is you cannot show broadside. The ship's armor is not that great. I believe it might have a 25mm bow, or less than that, maybe a 20mm bow, I forget. My World of Warships client's updating right now, so I can't, check that. It's something where you can bow tank, 14-inch guns, but you cannot bow tank 15-inch guns. I think it's 25mm. So like if you are facing a Fuso, you can literally straight up charge him down, burn him with the HE, and as soon as you get close enough, just torpedo them and be done with them. So this ship can be very durable in certain circumstances, and is guaranteed to last long if played well. But if you are caught broadside, if you wait too long to turn around, or if you let the enemy get within your base detection range and you're overextending and all of a sudden you need to turn around because you're overextending, that's when you get hit in the broadside and just straight up deleted. Now, this has never happened to me, but I have seen it happen to other people. So that is something that you have to be careful of with the Suri. Otherwise, it's actually fairly easy to play, and it's a very effective ship to play. It rewards sort of close-in playing because you can't sit at maximum range if you launch your spotter and sit at maximum range of, like, was it 16, maybe 17 kilometers and expect to reliably hit anything because of how poor the accuracy is on these guns. Or at least it seems like it. Really doesn't seem like if you look at it on paper, it doesn't seem like the accuracy is that bad, but it just seems very bad in practice. The groupings are almost never good. I mean, I'll get some groupings where, like, you literally can't even tell the two shells apart because they're, like, phasing in and out of each other. But there's sometimes where it'll land, like, 50 to 100 meters to port and starboard of a ship and just bracket them. And that's really frustrating when you have a 12-second reload. So that it is promoting sort of close-range play, but nothing within 12 or 10 or 9 kilometers, however you have the ship spec'd, if you have it for heavy HE and SAP shells, because I really don't recommend taking it, because your HE shells are already pretty ridiculous already. It'll make your concealment go up to 11.2 kilometers, even if you have concealment expert on your captain, which means that you only have a 3-kilometer buffer, or around a 3-kilometer buffer, just a little bit more than 3 kilometers, with your stealth firing range. So it makes it very tricky to play, and since your HE shells are already so crazy, it doesn't really matter all that much. Now, if you have a captain on the Goliath, and the Goliath has a larger sort of like a stealth firing range, then I could see you taking heavy HE and SAP shells and getting like 4,000 damage base high explosive shells and having 17k salvos and 10k salvos. I can see where you would take it, but I don't recommend it on the Suri. And so basically, in a nutshell, TLDR version of how to play this ship, you're going to go to cap, wait for your detection range to be around halfway to three-quarters of the way into the cap, then you're going to turn around and just kind of slowly kite and throttle juke and go forward and backwards and left and right and just kind of dodge all these shells, and then if it turns out that your team's winning on the flank, then you're going to go undetected, turn back around, and start pushing the team, especially if, I don't know, a Fuso and a Kagero pop up, and that's all that's in that cap. Well, yeah, then you're probably just going to want to push straight up. You're going to want to go undetected and push, because you can easily deal with the Kagero, especially if you run Hydro, which I highly recommend running Hydro, especially since the ranges that you engage in are kind of close, and you start to get close to those torpedo ranges that some destroyers would be at, and if they use their stealth to get close to you, they can get within torpedo range, and it's useful for charging smoke screens. It's just way more useful than defensive AA is, but other people think that defensive AA is more useful, so that's why it's there for you to take it. But anyways, you would charge the Kagero, easily deal with the Kagero, whether it be with your torpedoes or just straight up with your alpha of your guns. Then you'd charge down the Fuso, because you're faster than a Fuso, and you would be able to just wreck them with the EHE and then get close enough, or deal with them with the torpedoes, and then you could sweep around and catch your team in a crossfire. That's obviously a golden scenario for this ship, but I would say it performs well. I'm having a lot of fun in the Suri. My win rate is awful in the Suri because I've just been in games where my team's been pummeled. There was one game I had where it was a tier 9 match, and I was like one of two tier 7s in the entire match. There was just me and I think maybe an Atlanta on the main team or something like that. But I was the last one left alive on my team. I had dealt close to 100k damage in this ship, and I was single-handedly holding off an entire enemy flank, and my whole team lemming trained to one side, and they couldn't figure out how to push through the four enemy ships that were there while I was holding back like six. And so you can see how well that ended. And that's most of the games that I've been having in this ship. So, you know, that's been kind of interesting. And I mean, it's been a fun ship. I'm enjoying this line, and I would recommend it so far. And I just got a super container that gave me enough XP to get to the Albemarle, so that maybe the next episode, although I may do the Sirocco for the next episode, because I just got that as part of the Dockyard event, and by that time, if I do the Sirocco, I'm probably going to do the Deceiven Provincia, because I will get that, hopefully. I'm planning on getting it through just grinding through it and then buying the three phases, or I already bought the three phases, but just grinding the rest of the way through it. But, you know, if I need to, if it's getting, you know, after October 6th, then I have, like, two more phases to do, I might just straight up buy them. Seems like a good ship, and I'm eager to do an episode on it. But that is it for today. It is a bit of a shorter episode because we didn't really have any history to do on the HMS Surrey. I was kind of thinking maybe next time if we do the HMS Albemarle, that we'll do some history on some battles, maybe like Sunda Strait or something like that, just to allow me to have some more time on each episode, especially when there is a ship that does not have as much history. But if you liked the episode, please be sure to let me know and leave a positive review on whatever podcasting platform you're listening to. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, or ship requests, please email me at rankamateurpodcast@gmail.com. Email's also in the description of this episode, actually every episode. And please be sure to buy some merch and support the channel, or support the podcast, support the channel. I've been watching too much YouTube lately. Support the podcast in any way you can. It is much appreciated. And until next time, Captains...